1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. I'll read verse 1, then you read verse 2 with me, and we'll read responsibly down through it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in church with your people. So wonderful to sing together. Now, Father, as we come to your word being preached, I pray that please help us, strengthen us, so we can honor and glorify you. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory. You deserve so much more than what we give you. Lord, please help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This has been a great week with the president declaring churches essential. I would say it's overdue. They always were essential. It was long overdue, but I'm still glad it happened. I think it took a lot of determination and guts for him to do so. And he's obviously going against the stream. I couldn't believe just before he did that, the week before that, that every time he gets in front of those stinking reporters, how come you're not wearing your mask? How come you, good grief. Where's the respect and things? If we had to wear masks in here, I wouldn't wear one while I'm speaking. It'd be hard to understand. Plus, it's unneeded. But I'm just amazed at the disrespect and with the declaration of the governors that we've dealt with. I don't care if it's Michigan or LA's mayor or Governor Hogan or Screwball over here in Virginia. We've learned how wicked those in authority are. And if they could take your freedoms, they would. And so I think there's been a lot of things revealed through this. A verse that if we combine 1 Timothy chapter 2, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why does God want us praying for those that are in authority over us? Take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. I would think after a week like this and watching what's taken place, I got sent like three links to President Trump declaring this. This was all happening, I think it was Thursday. Is that when it was all taking place? I teared up when I saw it. I thought the same thing I just told you. A little overdue, but I'm glad it's being declared. And I hope a verse that comes to your mind when you see things like this, it should be in your Christian toolbox, is Proverbs 21. Look at verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he, the Lord, turneth it, the king's heart, whithersoever he, the Lord, will. When you see a declaration being made in favor of what the Bible says we're supposed to be doing, you can know it was God that turned his heart. I don't care if you want to say it's Governor Hogan releasing and saying that churches can meet at 50%. Any declaration that helps you lead a quiet and peaceable life that comes from those in authority is because God turned the king's heart. And it doesn't say... I'm amazed at how many people in this last election, well, I'm not voting for Trump because he's not saved. Okay, well, neither was Hillary. Did you know Jimmy Carter's the only one who made salvation an issue for a president? It used to be the requirements for president was, will you uphold and not attack the Constitution? Salvation, I don't know if President Trump's saved or not. I've met the woman with the big eyelashes. Saw her on TV, you know, the woman that supposedly showed him. So I don't know. She's a screwball from Texas. I don't know if President Trump is saved or not. Of course, I hope he is. But I know he's made quite a few declarations in favor of the American people, whether you want to do the church or whether you want to do other things. Reversed a lot of Obama's foolishness. So I don't know if he's saved or not. And I don't want to say I don't care, because of course I hope he's saved. But I know what the Bible says. His heart is in the hand of the Lord. And God turns it wherever God wants. That means if God turns the king's heart, it's because 1 Timothy chapter 2 is taking place and somebody was praying. Because I told the men of the church, remember, we don't have to do civil disobedience. We can just skip that step and go right to meeting in secret. Our forefathers have done it for 1,500 years. If we don't feel that we can civilly stand and disobey, we can just go right to secret meetings. Our forefathers disobeyed in meeting. It was against the law to have church. That's our heritage as Baptists. So when a decree comes that we can live, isn't this easier than meeting in secret? Having to text everybody, hey, see you here at 11 o'clock church tonight. Make sure no lights are on. When you come up the driveway, turn your headlights off so people can't tell. We're meeting out at the pavilion. Isn't this easier? This is nice, isn't it? So we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is nice. The decree from the president came Thursday because I believe God's people were praying. But it still took the hand of the Lord to turn the king's heart. And when anything favorable comes for Christians and children of God so we can have church and do what we're supposed to do, it's because somebody's praying. It's because somebody's praying. To understand that verse helps us understand why God tells a pastor in 1 Timothy to teach his people that the first thing, first of all, that prayers be made for those in authority. If we don't pray, I've told you this before, then God can't work. And God wants to work, but God doesn't work just because you wish things were different. God works when you pray. When we don't pray, God doesn't work. Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. In Isaiah 59:16, it says, God wondered that there was no intercessor. God says, nobody's praying. I could do so much if you just ask me, but nobody's praying. There's this to be done and this, my goodness, but y'all think you got it all figured out and you got it in your own? Okay, then deal with it. It says the Lord withdrew his arm in Isaiah 59:16. He withdrew. So fine, then do it yourself. Didn't we learn? Didn't we learn that our freedom is a lot more fragile than we thought it was? I don't have, after going through a week with Brother Grady last week, and obviously we've been studying prophecy on Wednesday nights, 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. In other words, I can tell you what I anticipate. What I anticipate is the globalists and those that are evil who wanted to institute lowering the world's population, they failed this time. But the Illuminati has said for years, when we fail at a strike, we just wait. Trump won the election, right, in 2016. Demographics says, let enough people graduate from college that have been taught that communism is the answer and socialism is the answer and capitalism is the enemy. It's going to take about 8 years and there won't be a majority. It's going to take about two more terms. And the Democrats know they have it. They've been teaching kids in the public schools and the colleges now, capitalism's the enemy. It's just a matter of time. Well, they need to be taught. Try to teach it and then you get banned. you're only allowed to teach on the internet what is socially agenda, lines up with the agenda. Capitalism was, it was, that's not the lesson this morning, but capitalism was what generates wealth. Socialism has to be supported, and it breaks a nation, and then that opens the gate for communism. That has been in the past 42 nations that have tried socialism. All I'm trying to tell you is things are, I think things are going to get worse before they get better. I know where it's going. I've read the end of the Bible. I know eventually we win, but as we build up for Jesus coming and the rapture, we're going to watch the stage being set for the Antichrist. I believe the decay is slowed down, though, because of the prayers of God's people. In other words, if people weren't praying, then we would be rushed quicker into it. But I believe as we pray, Lord, please help us. Help us as we go soul winning. Lord, help us as we pass out tracts. Lord, please, to serve you in a quiet and peaceable manner in all godliness and honesty. Lord, thank you for our freedoms. Thank you for what we get to do for you. To pray. The world wants to, I don't expect the world to do anything that is right. But God's people are supposed to be thanking and praying to God. The world wants to get back to their sports and their entertainment. They want their lives back to be just the way they were. That's the way the world thinks. Can I show you this? Take your Bible and go to Psalm 55. I expect the world to talk this way. What scares me is when Christians talk this way. I just want my life back. I realize if you're a college student, if you're a young teenager, I've tried to express my care and my love for you. I grew up in the 80s. We had the economy to look forward to. I served in the Marine Corps under Reagan. But what better president to serve under? Maybe President Trump might have been better, but I'm just saying, I look back at my life and I had it easy. I had it easy. I grew up in a financially, no recession, no depression, none of that. Do I want that for everybody? Sure I do. Why wouldn't I want that for my own children? But reality says, I think things are ramping up and I'm excited. I think Jesus is coming. But we're not used to that. We're used to reading about it, but we're not used to, wow, is this really happening? Is this really so to gauge our lives because of it? Look at Psalm 55. I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning, and I do have we'll end on three things I want to drive home to you. But watch this. Psalm 55, verse 15. Now, verse 19 is what I hope is marked in your Bible. But look at verse 15. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. So here's a prayer against the Antichrist and his minions in the tribulation by the Jews. They're being persecuted. This is obviously a prophetic psalm. Watch. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. What a verse for praying three times in the day. Amen. When you get up in the morning, at noon, and when you go to bed. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Please notice verse 19 very carefully. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. It's talking about the world, not talking about Christians. Because they have no changes, they don't fear God. I'll come back to that in just a second. Let's finish it. Verse 20. He hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. Who breaks his covenant? That's a verse about the Antichrist. He breaks his covenant in the middle of the tribulation. Look at verse number 21. The words of his, the Antichrist's mouth, were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. And then notice what we're told to do. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So when God is describing traits of the Antichrist and of the world and of the wicked, God says, don't obviously not lose your faith. You go ahead and cast your burden on the Lord, but don't expect the world to do that. They have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. Let's close with the end, verse 23. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. The end of verse 19, I think, is so important. Because the world does not allow things to change. Talk to anybody that's lost. What do they want most about this COVID-19 thing? I just want my life back. What are they saying? I want things to go back to the way they were before the lockdown. They don't want the change. Okay, I don't want the change either, but I also realize God's in control and God's working and God knows what's going on. So when a change happens, I'm not supposed to go, I want my life back. I'm supposed to go, okay, God, what do you want? What was I supposed to learn about what we just went through? I don't think life's going back to the way it was. I think it's going to be some similarities, but the world just changed 2 months ago. But because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. What else does that mean? They don't want their lifestyle interrupted. I'm talking about the world now. They won't allow themselves to see God working so that God can get their attention when a disaster happens or a pandemic or a heartache or a tragedy. I just want my life back. Look, when I hear people talk like that, it scares me. Our forefathers, when America was fought for, didn't fight so that they could have an easy life. They fought for the freedom to serve God. It was not the freedom so I can go to the beach and do whatever I want or do drugs or do alcohol. It wasn't so that I could have my life. Freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty to live for God. And what scares me is when I hear people saying, well, we need to fight for our freedoms. Freedom so you can go soul winning? Is that what you're fighting for? No, I want to have a house and my job. And God won't bless that. I think you're wanting your, I hear, that's what I expect from the world, to hear a Christian talk that way. All God says we're supposed to be doing is praying for those in authority that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Because it's sure wonderful coming to church when it's legal. Right? I don't like that kind of talk. I just want my life back. Can't wait for things to get back to normal. What if it doesn't go back to normal? You're going to be one of those suicide people? Hope not. Everything that's wrong, drug usage is up, alcohol usage is up, suicides are up, molestations are up. Everything that's wrong with our society went up in 2 months. No good came from this. Economies, food supply, want to say again? Okay. I'm just saying no good came from this. So what if things don't go back to normal? Christian, what we're supposed to seek first, and I know it's easy preaching, hard living, but we're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God says, let him worry about our clothing and our what are we going to eat? What are we going to, God says, I already know you need that. Where's my trust in the Lord? And I'm going to tell you something. The past 2 months have moved me into, I thought I was trusting the Lord. This past 2 months has been a help to me as a Christian. I want to say, well, maybe God used the whole thing. Some good that came out of it was, I learned I got some holes I need to fill. And I need some Holy Ghost putty. I got a bunch of holes because my bucket leaks. And I don't want this. I can't change what the world does, but if this happens again, I want to be ready. Because they have no changes, they fear not God. We're supposed to be trying to see God's hand in what's going on and how God is working. I think prophecy shows us that. We know we're getting close to Jesus coming. And when changes happen to us, like Jesus said, we're supposed to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. And that doesn't mean because we're suffering. Israel is what we're watching. Israel is the time clock. Well, things have always happened bad to people, but Israel's only been a nation for a little over 70 years. The clock is ticking. I think we're getting ready to go home. And I've heard preaching on the rapture, and I get excited about it, and I like it. But I'll be shocked if I die a natural death. I really believe I'm going up. You say, well, so did Paul. I know, but Paul didn't know Israel was going to be destroyed and then come again as rebuilt as another nation in 1948. No, I think, well, always been that way. I understand to an element, but I think things are different right now. I'm excited about it, but I see it as real as I've ever seen it. As real as I've ever seen it. Now let me make, could I ask you this? What's going to change in your life because of what we just went through? Or are you dying to get your life back? I told you before, God showed us how fragile our freedoms are, and our hope should not be in man. If we get to the point of no church again, and we're declared non-essential again, I'm going to tell you something as a pastor. I believe it's because we didn't thank God for what we had, and we didn't pray enough for those in authority. I don't expect a life of ease as a Christian. But I do know when I do what I'm supposed to, that God can help me as a Christian live for Him. I'm not looking for a life of ease. But if this comes around again, I like what Brother Bernie said. I think if, quote unquote, if they're going to make it spike again or whatever they're going to do in the fall, it's supposed to come back because it's part of the flu now. If we get declared unessential again, he and I were talking. I said, it'll be because Christians didn't pray. The government should be learning now that they can't do that to the American people. They should be learning that, but they don't have to learn that. Right? Let me ask you this. Christian, I preached 2 weeks ago on praying for those, maybe it was three, praying for those in authority. Are you praying for those in authority now? That we could live a quiet and peaceable life? We're learning how tumultuous things can get. How about this? The next thing that people are concerned about, and they should be, is a forced vaccine. Okay, that's what's coming down the pike next. Let me tell you something about vaccines. Vaccines kill so many people and maim so many children a year that there is a special court that deals with vaccines and its deaths, because it would overrule the court system that is present. It is a special vaccine court. Because when you get injected with a vaccine, and if you're a flu vaccine person, God bless you, but they have said in the past 10 years it is set out to kill the old people. And guess who gets the vaccines for flu? The old people. I don't trust it. That's because I was in the Marine Corps. I've been a pincushion. I've had them all. I think I've had more than I need. Okay? But when I got out, and I've watched soldiers. They don't know how the vaccine's going to affect you. I've seen one soldier, after he got vaccinated, he was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. They didn't know how that vaccine was going to affect him. Why would you let anybody put something in you that you don't know how it's going to affect you? Well, it's okay. Did you know one out of every 32 children become autistic because of that cocktail of viruses they give the baby? Would you ride on an airplane that crashed one out of every 32 times it took off? I wouldn't. Well, those are pretty good odds. Well, God bless you. Get on the plane, and Brother Doggett will probably fly you. Amen. Vaccines are so dangerous. Vaccines are so dangerous, that's the next thing that's coming. Okay, great. Great, we're having church now. The next thing that's on the horizon is a forced vaccine that Bill Gates has said, we want to take away that part of your brain that responds to what you perceive as truth so we can eradicate the violence that comes from jihad and religion in the world. I'm not getting a vaccine. I don't care if they say you can't drive a car. We'll invalidate your driver's license if you don't get a vaccine. I don't care. I'm not getting a vaccine. Are you trying to kill people? Right. I'm trying to kill people by not getting the vaccine. I would tell you not to, but this is America. You can get it if you want. Now let me go back to my original statement. If we get to that point this fall, it's not really supposed to be ready till 2021. But if we come to that point, where the military is involved, mass giving the vaccinations, I believe it will be because God's people didn't pray. We're supposed to be praying against it, that we live a quiet and peaceable life. Christian, are you praying? Are you spending extra time in prayer? You mean what we just went through? I just want my life back. I know. That's what I'm trying to preach against this morning. The change has come so that we could fear God and realize that we're not in control like we thought we were. Then what is supposed to change in our life? I'll tell you this. I think we're supposed to thank God when we're in church. I think we're supposed to thank God we can hold a book and it's not illegal. We don't. Right now, I remember when we were. Every time the police would stop down here, remember? Everybody would... No threat of that this morning. That's kind of nice, right? I'm not worried about the police coming through the back door, telling us to disband. Looks like that part's been kind of sedated for a while. Hope it's for good. Of course I do. Are you praying any more than you were? Have you thanked God for your church? It's bugged me for the... Obviously, well, that's because you're a pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. And to get to hear God's people sing and to sing together, God designed that. That's something that happens when that... There is no... I like what President Trump said. You can sit and watch a laptop all you want, but it ain't church. We ought to be thanking God and praising Him, and we ought to be praying more. And if you're not praying more after what we just went through, then could I ask you, what does it take to get you to pray? Good grief. I thought the bottom almost fell out from what I'm used to as an American. And your prayer time's still the same? Have you added anything to your life that's spiritual? Have you upped your Bible reading a little bit? Is prayer there now? Whereas before I was, if I get around to it. Is it not so iffy now? I'm trying to pull from this. You need to be walking with God and growing spiritually to handle what is up ahead. Look, I don't know what's up ahead any more than I knew this was up ahead. None of us knew that this was coming down the pike. And if you would have said, how would they take your freedoms in America? None of us would have guessed what just happened. Guess what? I'm looking for the rapture. But there's more to follow, and what's coming next, I have no idea, but I'm going to get ready. I'm getting ready. I don't want to be caught off guard next time. Take your Bible and go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter, oh, you know what? We're going to 2 Peter 3. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. I named the sermon Never Again. But I think it would take a lot more preaching than this to fortify us to where we could truthfully say never again. I think it'll take more truth than this. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Back near Revelation. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise to come and return, as some men count slackness. but is long-suffering to, and the key word in that verse is usward. See, when we ask the question, how come Jesus hasn't come yet, we always give this answer because God wants more people saved. But that's only half of what the verse says. Yes, God is not long-suffering. God is not willing that anybody should go to hell. But God says he's long-suffering, and God says he's waiting because of us. The long-suffering, God's putting up with our lack of soul-winning and our lack of aggressiveness giving out tracts and our lack. It's usward. God says, I'm waiting for you to get on the ball. I don't want people to die and go to hell. I know Jesus is coming, but why has it taken so long? Because of Christians that won't do what God tells them to do. So guess what? I think something that's supposed to come out of this, I believe we're supposed to thank God more. I believe we're supposed to pray more. And I believe we're supposed to go soul winning more and get more aggressive about what God's told us to do. Isn't that amazing? God is long-suffering to us. God puts up with our selfishness and our lack of discipline and our lack of commitment to get the gospel out. Look at Jeremiah chapter 12, ready? Look at verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You know what God says? When the river Jordan would swell, all of the animals would come inland. The river swelling was bad. It sent the snakes, the animals, and everything. And God says, you couldn't handle it when the river was low and normal? How are you going to handle it when it swells? And if you got tired running with footmen, how are you going to run with the horsemen? That's my verse for, I don't want to get caught off guard again. God says, you mean what we just went through tired you out? Yeah, it tired me out. I was caught off guard. I don't want to get caught off guard again. And you thought that was rough? More to follow. I don't know what's coming next. And I don't know when it's coming. But I know something's coming. Christian, better fortify yourself. Better prepare. Better be walking with God. I hope you're wanting more than just your life back. I hope you're adding to your life. I need more Bible. I need more time with God. I need to be stronger so I can handle what's coming. That was 2 Peter. Psalm, I'm coming to the end here, so just listen. I believe we're supposed to be more thankful that God has allowed us for what God has allowed us to have. Psalm 50 verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. As happy as we are in church, God ought to get an extra hour of prayer this week out of all of his people. What are you going to give God extra because the pressure's off? You understand? It's not, great, now I got my old schedule back. I don't want my old schedule back. I want to know what God wants me to put in my schedule now that we've gone through this. They have no changes. That's why they fear not God. Christian, let God use this to grow you instead of focusing on my pleasure, my money, my time, my, hey, what's God want? They have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. I believe we're supposed to be thanking God more, and I believe we're supposed to be praying more as we've learned how fragile our freedoms are. I believe we need to be taking advantage of every opportunity to win the lost. Giving out more gospel tracts. We're going to start soul winning June 6th, Saturday, June 6th. I figured we'd do this one more week, get through the Memorial Day week, and June 6th, we're going to meet here at 9:30. I'll give a soul winning charge. I'll teach you something doctrinally that'll help you give the gospel, and then we'll leave here at 10 o'clock, and we're going to go from 10 to 12, just like we used to. You say, what's the community going to think? I don't know. I know we're supposed to go soul winning. Nobody else has given him the answer. And boy, did they need the answer. They just don't know it yet. But we're going to start going soul winning Saturday, June 6th. We're going to meet here at 9:30. It's as important as I've ever thought it was. If we get back to the point, I'm going to close with this now. If we get back to the point where we're not allowed to have church again and we're declared non-essential, I believe it'll be because we didn't thank God for what we have, and we didn't pray for those in authority. If we get to the point of a forced vaccine, it's because we weren't thankful and we didn't pray for those in authority. We're told to, first of all, pray for those in authority, that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Let me just close with this question. What's going to be different in your life because of what we just went through? Does God get more time? You going to spend more time in your Bible? Strengthening? Getting that in you? You going to spend more time praying? Something good for us is supposed to come from it if we'll let God work in our life. Because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please help us as your people. Lord, I thank you. The king's heart is in your hand. And Lord, I thank you for turning it.